going to pray, and then we'll go to the Word of God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for just being in your presence there, Lord, in that time of worship, Lord. Lord, you are worthy. Lord, sometimes we just don't even have the words. Lord, we don't even have the voice or what it really takes, Lord, just to give the thanks that you deserve, Lord. But Lord, we just declare tonight, you are worthy. Lord, whatever our circumstances, however we're feeling tonight, wherever we're at, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you never change. And your love towards us, Lord, never ever changes.
Thank you.
Your thoughts for us, Lord. Even when we were doing our worst, Lord, Lord, you saved us. Even at that moment, Lord, your son Jesus was sacrificed on the cross for us. Even when we were doing our worst, Lord.
Thank you.
So, Lord, just how much more do you love us right now, Lord, okay. Where we're at? We've come a long way, Lord. It's been a long journey, and the journey continues, Lord God. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you never change throughout it all. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, I'm going to read from Leviticus, chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. No, we're not going to do that. Maybe next week we'll do that. I just threw that in there, because Lorraine was preaching this morning, and she read a whole chapter. I thought... I won't have to preach for as long. No. I can just add a little. I just add a little bit. I don't have to do any preparation or anything, but no, the Lord didn't let me get away with that one. He was on to me straight away. So we're going to actually turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. It's a bit like when everyone's having a meal together, church meal, and someone gets asked to give thanks for the food. And it's like, we're going to turn to the Bible, and you're absolutely starving. You know, it's like, oh no, I'm really hungry. This prayer's going to take too long, you know. Hallelujah. Of course, we've got a shorter reading just now. So it's Philippians 3, chapter 7 to 14. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's a good scripture, this one, to remind yourself. You ever in one of those situations where, you know, you think you're an absolute super duper Christian? And you've got to get into that telephone box and then come out with your underpants over your trousers, super Christian. You know, feel like you put yourself on such a high pedestal, it's good to come to this scripture and just hear the words of Paul, who says he doesn't actually feel like he's actually arrived yet. You know, it's quite reassuring, isn't it? You know, we've been a Christian all these years, or however long you've been a Christian, but you know, Paul, the super apostle, you know, the apostle of apostles, and all of these wonderful titles, that he considered himself not to actually quite have obtained where he believed that God was taking him. So it's good to remind ourselves that we are actually on a journey.
Yeah,
it is a journey that we're on. And you know, it's an interesting journey, isn't it? Yeah. I have to say, it's an interesting journey. It's a very entertaining journey as a Christian. A lot of ups and downs, but it is definitely a journey. Now, I remember years and years ago when we used to live down in England, and we always used to come up to Scotland on our holidays every year, and we'd be travelling up the motorway. And we'd always come to that point, you get past Carlisle, and you're heading towards Gretna Green, like, this is it, we're nearly there, Scotland. Yeah.
And you see the sign, the big
Welcome
salt
to Scotland.
Sign. Yeah, welcome to Scotland. And you'd all like that. And we as a family, we would all go, we're in Scotland. Now! And we'd all do that all together. It was just, we didn't have to like prompt each other. We all knew to do that because let's face it, we were just about to enter the most beautiful country on God's earth.
Exactly.
Just trying to get the Scottish people.
Yeah. Well, I've got...
That's true. It's true. In England, all we got was the Lake District. We just got this little portion of kind of beautiful area.
That's still beautiful.
So, but Scotland's a really beautiful country, and that's why we used to go on holiday there every year. It was fantastic. Midges and all. So we're in Scotland now. So, but the thing is, like, that was when I was really young, right? And then as I was going through my teenage years, I got to go on holiday with this other family to Scotland, okay, because it was my best friend, he wanted to bring his friend along. So I got invited on this holiday to Scotland. So we're going up the motorway. Over there, Carlisle, Gretna Green, signs inside. And then I can see them. And they start going, we're in, and I start going, we're in Scotland. And they all, what are you doing? We're in Scotland. Right, and they're going, well, what's going on? We're in Scotland now. And they didn't join in at all. And I was like, what's the matter? They said, you don't do it that way. We do it. We're in Scotland. I was in shock. I actually thought everybody did it. Like, we're in Scotland now. And we just had this big argument, basically. So what they were saying was, like, the fact that I'd said we're in Scotland, I'd actually already made a statement that we were in Scotland. Well, we weren't. We were actually before the actual border. So then that's wrong. You can't say it that way because you're actually making... I said, no, it wasn't a statement of declaration. It was a statement, but kind of leading up to a moment. It was kind of like sort of tantalising, not quite there yet, we're in Scotland, but now is the moment. You know. Anyway, by the time I got to Motherwell, I'm kind of still simmered down.
You reckon you will be in Scotland by then?
But I was just thinking about this today because it made me think, you know, like we're all on journeys, aren't we, with the Lord, you know? And sometimes we just do things a little bit differently. We kind of think a little bit differently. Sometimes we're thinking one way and some think another way. But the fact is, we're all on the same journey, aren't we? We're all on the same journey with God. We've all got the same destination. The kind of journey might be slightly different in the way that we get there, but we're all on the same journey. We're all with Jesus, and we're all heading in the same direction.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's like, last week I was talking about, you know, how we can call from different angles and stuff, but all together we're kind of beautiful, aren't we, you know, as the body of Christ.
Right.
And it's a bit like that with the way that we journey. We're all kind of, we've all got a kind of like, you know, personal kind of sort of walks with God, and we all kind of see things maybe slightly differently, maybe, you know. And sometimes we all see things like together, and it's like amazing, isn't it? You know, but that's okay. Yeah, we see things slightly different. I'm okay with that. I can cope. I don't get all kind of like wound up because Kirsty's a total heretic and believes something slightly different to me. You know? But it's okay, you know. So, sometimes I don't know if you're ever in this position as a Christian where you hear something and you think, I don't agree with that. Shall I say something here? You know, and you're like, oh, do you know what? It's okay because we're actually, you know, we might be going on slightly different routes here, but we're all heading in the same direction. So, you know, I'm okay. I'm going to let that go. You know, Kirsty can go her own sort of way, but we're all heading to Scotland, and you know,
I'll let it go too, Annie.
So we can all be heading in the same direction, but maybe there's slightly things. Sometimes we just have simple misunderstandings, don't we? You know, where we just kind of like, we think someone's saying something one way, but they're actually saying it in a completely different way, and we've kind of misunderstood, and there's a lot of these things that go on, you know, and the enemy can have an absolute field day with this stuff, you know.
He can
build those sort of dividing walls, you know, that we kind of like, oh, you know, such and such says, oh, that's it, I'm not talking to them anymore because... You know, I didn't agree with that, you know, but the fact is, we're all part of the same family, we're all moving together. So there can be a lot of sort of family traditions, like in that example I just gave you, and preconceived ideas, that can kind of just sort of muddy the waters a little bit, but, you know, let's just chill out.
Yeah.
Let's just chill.
Yeah. See, some folks travel better than others. I don't know if you noticed that. I had a brother who was always like car sick.
Yeah, and
on a car journey. And finally, for some people, like, can sit in the back of the car and read a book. How do they do that, you know? That's just a bit weird, you know? Some people are like, oh, car journey, you know, so they're like travel sickness tablets and stuff like that. But we're all different, you know? We all like cope with travelling in different ways. There's others who say, are we there yet? And I think you've come across this in your Christian life, you know, are we there yet? Oh, we should, you know, the church should be this and the church should be that. Are we there yet? You know, we get impatient because where we're at is not where we kind of expect things to be, you know. So it's easy to get impatient. Don't know about you, but when I first became a Christian, I was given like the book of like Luke to read when I was first being discipled, so I read the book of Luke, you know. But up and I was like, make sure no one's watching, I'll have to turn to the book of Revelation, see what happens in the end. You know, a bit like when you've got these like novels and you look to the end to see if like the butler did it, you know. It's a bit like that, you know, because we want to know the end, don't we? We always want to get to the end. You know, any journey that we're on, it's always about getting to where we're going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that can really kind of hold us back in our walk with God. You know, we can be so obsessed with the destination side of things that we can actually forget that we're on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And the journey's there for a reason. The journey's there to be enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know.
That's right.
Amen.
When I'm going on holiday and the bags are packed, as soon as I step out that door, I'm on holiday. So I haven't actually got to my destination yet. I haven't even got to the Caribbean where I holiday every year. But as soon as I'm out the door and I've got my bags, that's it. I'm on holiday because I'm starting the journey. And when I'm starting the journey, it's like I'm on my way, but I'm already there. I'm already there. And that's how it should be as a Christian. It's like we're on this journey, but we're already kind of like, we're already like positioned there. We're already there. And what we need to do is we need to bring some of that destination sort of experience and expectation back with us onto the journey, so we're actually, hey, I'm on holiday.
Man.
I'm on holiday. But the thing is, like, sometimes we lose our focus. Sometimes we're so focused on the destination or the completion, you can get restless and agitated. You can get to that place where, I just want to arrive. I just want to be there. I just want to be on holiday. I'm fed up with this journey, you know. And as soon as we start thinking that, then we kind of lose some of what we do. We get into this place of like strife and agitation. But it's okay, you know. The journey's good. The journey's fun.
Yeah.
Pace yourself. Take your time. Put the kettle on.
Yes.
So we can be so focused on this end sort of destination that we can kind of lose our way. Because we're not enjoying the journey, and it's just it has no kind of impact on the people that are around. People see us happy because we're enjoying the journey, and we're going to have this incredible impact on other people. But likewise, sometimes if we kind of look back as well, so there's the opposite of that. So let's just turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke 9:62. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know, and we saw that with the Israelites, didn't we? You know, and as they were, you know, they started, eventually joined the journey, they started to look back. They looked back to Egypt and thought, you know what, it was actually better. It was better back there, you know. Maybe we don't want to be going where we're supposed to be going. Maybe we just look back. So again, that's another way, you know, on one hand we can say, right, listen, destination where, you know, we've arrived, you know, but there's still some journey to go. And on the other hand, you can look back and you think, oh, do you know what, this journey's really doing ahead, and I don't think we're getting anywhere at all. We're actually better off back where we were. And that was the attitude of the Israelites, and they got, you know, total reproach for that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
the fact is, like, when we move, when we're on the move, when we're on the move, we're on our journey. Enjoy it. Yeah. The holiday starts there, you know. So we should be enjoying our walk with God. And if we're not enjoying our walk with God, then I always question yourself, say, you know, am I looking back? Am I judging the now time with the experience that I've had? Mm-hmm. Or am I kind of expecting so much that my experience doesn't match up with my expectation? And I'm frustrated and I'm agitated because, you know, I should be here and people are even saying you should be this and you should be that, and I'm not experiencing that right now, and it's really frustrating. So, you know, examine yourselves where you are on the journey. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at on the journey. The fact is, you're on the journey.
Yeah.
And you're on the move. So it's time to start enjoying the journey that we're on. Remember when I used to go to a football match? You know, football, they say, is all about results, isn't it? And I'm not going to mention England at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay. But football's all about results, okay? But when you go to a football match, there's a journey that you go on before you get to the end of the match and you find out the results and what you're seeing. There's all the anticipation. There's the excitement of what's to come. And that's part of the enjoyment of going to a football match. It's not just about the end result. It's about all that anticipation and excitement. And that's the joy of, like, walking with the Lord. There's so much anticipation and excitement. You know, there's so much we haven't seen. I mean, I want to see, like, more and more miracles. And we're not seeing more and more miracles. But that doesn't make me think, oh, well, it's just a waste of time. It's a load of rubbish. Now there's an anticipation and an excitement, yeah, knowing that we haven't come into all of that yet, you know, mm-hmm. but yet, you know. And that's part of the joy of being a Christian and walking with the Lord. It's the fact that, you know, we're on this journey. We haven't actually reached that destination, as Paul said. It doesn't feel like he's actually achieved what God set for him. But it's that excitement of heading in that direction,
yeah,
that we should get excited about. Well, what about kids getting excited about Christmas Day? You know, it's like, it's not just about Christmas Day, is it, with kids? It's like, it's the little, oh, how many days to go? Let's get the Advent calendar out. Let's count down the days. It's nearly there. It's all fun. It's excitement and everything. It's the same with the Lord. You know, we're expecting God to do so much stuff. We should be excited and full of joy about what's to come.
Yeah.
Enjoying what's now, but joy about what's to come as well.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not here now is okay. You know, we can enjoy the now. I remember when I used to go on long car journeys with my dad, and he'd be driving. I used to go long, you know, driving up to, right up to the north of Scotland. I used to have this MacBook, and along the way, it was a long journey, you know. But I enjoyed every moment. I was having this MacBook, and I'd be looking out for things along the way. I'd be looking out for, like, landmarks, like rivers and hills and church spires and railway lines, and I'd follow this map all the way, you know. And they always think, I always loved and enjoyed the journey. The journey was part of the experience of the holiday. I had a great idea. I think we should publish our own I Spy book of the Christian journey.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah. So we can kind of enjoy. Remember those I Spy books?
Yeah.
Remember the I Spy books? Basically, like, you'd have, like, I Spy book of a journey on the motorway, and you get, like, you'd have to tick these boxes when you saw a road sign with 70 miles an hour on, you tick that box, you get 5 points for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw a service station, that was, like, 5 points. If you saw a hitchhiker, I can't remember that, it was a long time ago. But we could have one, like, for being Christians, like, walking with the Lord, you know, so we'd have, like, 5 points for when you see a quiche after service dinner. You know, someone wearing sandals, 10 points.
With socks,
10 points.
Oh,
but
someone wearing glasses,
10 points. So I think it'd be great to have that. But the fact is, you know, when you become a Christian, you don't really know and understand about the journey that's ahead of you, mm-hmm. do you? You know, you kind of get little glimpses of, you know, like talking to other Christians about what it's like and that, you know. And sometimes you tend to meet the super spiritual Christians, you know, the ones that have been in the telephone box with the underpants over the trousers, and they present it in such an unrealistic way that you think, oh, I can never, I can't. That's, you know, and you just feel like nothing. But it's just sometimes a bit of a reality check from some people would be actually quite handy for the journey that's ahead of you. Because let's face it, the journey's difficult.
Yeah.
It's a difficult journey. And here's me telling you to enjoy it.
Yeah.
What kind of sadist is this? That's. But every journey has a beginning and an end. Aren't you glad that God is the beginning and the end? He's the Alpha and the Omega.
That's right.
But the fact it's got a beginning and the end means there's something in between, you know, which is the journey. The good news is he's here with us right through the whole experience.
Yeah.
It's always intriguing. It's like he's the beginning and the end, and yet we're living in an eternity without any end. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, try and get your head around that one for a second. That's amazing. But God inhabits the whole of time, you know. We have a concept of time which doesn't actually match the reality of God's concept of time, because we're in this kind of like ticking clock kind of time. But God inhabits the whole time. Like, he's at the end. At the same time, he's also at the beginning. And, like, we don't operate that way. You know, sometimes we get little glimpses of it in the spirit, you know. But really, that's who God is, you know. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He's all of those, you know. We're not like that, you know. Sometimes, as I say, we can get a little glimpse of it in the spirit and get a bit of understanding of who he is and all of that, but it always just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But we're on a journey. Okay, so let's come back to the journey. And it's very important on a journey, I found, to my cost, about on Wednesday. I walked in from Garabos to Stornoway, but a kind of like roundabout route, it was about 8 miles. It's very important not to carry a heavy load. Now, I carried a bag of potatoes on the back, which for the reason I'm actually cooking them here, but we won't go there on that. It's quite hard to explain.
They were good potatoes.
Yeah. But it's not good to carry a heavy load when you're on a long journey. Let's turn to Mark chapter 6. Verse 8. These were in his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, 5 points, but not an extra tunic. Take quiche. No, he didn't say that. whenever you enter a house, stay there until you get quiche. No, he didn't say that. Stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them.
Mm.
So what I really believe that the Lord's saying here to his disciples is when he sent them out, he's like, there's a lot of stuff that we can rely on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we go heavy laden with stuff out into the world, out into the workplaces. We've got all our own baggage, we've got all our own burdens and all of our own stuff that we carry. But we also sometimes carry stuff where we actually think that we need that because somehow that's going to help when we start kind of trying to reach out to people. And sometimes the Lord's just saying, do you know what? The Holy Spirit can do it all. He really can. You know, sometimes we actually try and do the work of the Holy Spirit, the work that only the Holy Spirit can do. And I really believe that's what the Lord was saying in this. So we're on a journey, and we don't have to carry a heavy load. That's the good news.
That's right.
You know, we don't, all these burdens that we've got on, we can just take these off. You know, stuff. You know, all my preconceived ideas, my family traditions, and all this stuff. You know. Maybe if I was just relying on the Holy Spirit, maybe in that moment in time, going up that road, just arriving in Scotland, I would have been in tune with the family that I was going with, and I'd have understood where they were coming from, you know, and I could have avoided this silly argument.
even though I was right. But we could have avoided it if I was in tune with the Holy Spirit. You know? And the Lord provides us with the provision for the journey, as we've seen in the scripture. He's got everything we need. We don't have to rely on our own strength and our own resources. Mm. Now, I was reading about the Pennine Way. Has anyone heard of the Pennine Way?
Mm-hmm.
It's a long-distance walk right up the spine of England from Edale in Derbyshire right up to Kirkyetham in southern Scotland. And it's like 270 miles. And I was reading about this ranger who... He looks after like the Kinder Scout area right next to Edale. So it's like, if anyone's walking the Pennine Way, this is the first day. First day's trek is about 12, 15 miles or something. So, and he was saying, like, you know, you get these guys and they're like, we're going to walk the Pennine Way, excuse me, and they've got this big backpack on and they set up and it's quite a climb on the way up, thank you. It's quite a climb. Even like talking about it's making me thirsty. It's a really steep climb. And he says every day he walks up there to clear away from the side of the road, the side of the path, tins of beans, spaghetti, and huge like packs of things, because like everyone who starts it thinks, right, 270 miles, I need to take a lot of stuff. But what they don't realise is they can only carry so much stuff with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realise how steep and hard going the actual journey is. So they get so far up and they're absolutely exhausted and they're like, oh, I can't just give up, you know, when you've started, like you've got another 2 weeks to go. So they think, well, what can I do? I'll just unload some of the stuff. And it's usually like, I don't know why people take tins of beans and stuff, like, but it's like the heavy stuff always gets stuck to the little side. They can't walk all the way back down again and take you down. So every day this guy, he said, it's unbelievable. And there's like all this stuff just laying at the side.
Yeah.
So the analogy is, you know, there's so much stuff that we carry, particularly as like new Christians. Sometimes it takes a while to kind of offload a lot of stuff. I've been a Christian for 30 years and I'm still finding stuff I need to offload.
Okay.
You know, it's an ongoing process, isn't it? It's part of the journey, is this kind of like loosening the load, because Jesus says, you know, come to me, my burden is light. He doesn't want us to have this huge burden on our shoulders as we're walking with him. And there's lots of ups and downs as well. That's another thing that people on these long distance walks don't realise. There's a lot of climbing involved. They just look at it as like from here to there. But here to there is kind of up here and down here and up here and down here. And that can be our experience, you know, as a Christian. Unless, of course, you're super Christian and you are, you know, you're always on the mountaintop and, you know, you just, you never have any struggles or... But of course we do. It's inevitable because we're humans, and it's inevitable that we have like. In fact, the Bible says you'll have much tribulation. There's going to be struggles in this Christian life, and if you think there's not, then we're deluded, as we were talking about last week. As Lorraine was preaching this morning, there was something she was talking about, and it just made me think about, you know, the disciples. When Jesus said to the disciples, follow me, not one of them at that point, when they laid down their nets or whatever they were doing and started to follow Jesus, not one of them, if they knew what was going to happen, right at the end, if they knew that Jesus was just going to get nailed to a cross, if they knew that was going to happen, I bet if they knew that, not one of them would have put down their nets and followed him, because they wouldn't have understood at that point why Jesus was here, you know. So sometimes, not knowing the end, the end from the beginning, is that I'm actually quite glad that it's God that knows this stuff, you know, the end from the beginning, because sometimes, you know, if we knew what we were kind of getting ourselves into as Christians, sometimes we're like, oh, no thank you. So you know, it can be testing. It can be hard. But God's got to sometimes build us and prepare us for what's to come. You know, and that's what Jesus was doing with his disciples, and it's the same for us. But what we can do is, we might not know our true, like, full destiny and everything that we that God's got for us. But we can bring the destiny to the journey with us.
Yes.
You know, we might not know the fullness of it and everything, but we can bring. So, and the reason I say that is because Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? He taught us, let your will on earth be done as it is in heaven. We can actually experience heaven, which is our destiny, our ultimate destiny, heaven. We can actually experience part of that destiny here on earth right now. We can actually, you know, we might experience the fullness of it. You know, we might not be around the actual throne and all that, but we can experience what actually exists in heaven. We can experience some of that, you know, we can experience a lot of that right now here on earth, if we're willing, because as we heard last week, he is willing.
Yeah.
He is willing that we experience that. He wants us to experience his healing, he wants us to experience deliverance, he wants us to experience all the fullness of what he has for us. So we can have that right now. We can enjoy that on the journey.
Yeah.
You know. Now that's quite a big expectation when you start thinking down those things. And I've wrestled with this a lot, you know, that we can have this amazing expectation of what God can do for us now. And my experience, I have to say, has never really kind of matched my expectation or my belief of what I can have. And there's always been this kind of like gap. And at first I used to find that really frustrating and difficult to kind of understand or cope with, but I've come to realise that's okay. You know, that is part of the journey, you know, and enjoy what you've got now. It might not be the fullness, it might not be even halfway there, you know, but just enjoy what you have now, because there's the anticipation and there's the excitement of what's to come. So don't worry if your experience doesn't always match your expectation. The fact is, you're on a journey and you're heading in the right direction.
Yes.
There was a song years ago, and one of the lines in it was, an inch is further than a mile in the right direction.
Mm.
An inch is further than a mile in the right direction. Now, sometimes the journey, we might just be inching our way along. You know, maybe because we've got too much burden on us. Sometimes you have to throw things off. Maybe we can start going a bit faster, you know, if we start throwing some of this stuff off. But the fact is, you know, an inch might not seem very far, but it's a lot further than heading in the other direction as
that's
we were
right.
before
yeah.
before we were saved.
Mm-hmm.
So progress is being made.
Yeah.
It might not look like it sometimes. It might not look like it all the time. It may not feel like it. It may not feel like it all the time.
Mm.
Or some of the time, or whatever.
That's a good position, though.
But progress is being made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things are changing.
That's right.
When you're on a journey, the scenery is always changing.
That's
Have you noticed that? Unless you go, unless you're on one of these journeys, like on an ocean liner, just in the middle of the ocean, and you can't see anything but ocean. But I remember travelling up the M6 to Scotland on the holidays, and there's always this boring bit in the start where you kind of go to Liverpool, and it was kind of built up, and then you go on the motorway, and all the bits of the motorway look the same. You know, you didn't really know where you were unless you were following it on a map, because it just looked the same. And then suddenly, you start to see a few hills, and you thought, oh, that's it, Scotland's getting nearer. We're nearly there, you know, so you see a few hills just as you slip past up the Lake District. And then there was this bit, as you came towards Carlisle, where you felt a bit flatter again, you think, well, maybe I was, like, you know, getting a bit hyped too soon. And then it started getting hillier again, and then you knew you were coming towards Scotland. But the scenery is changing. The spiritual scenery is changing
as we
go on this journey with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it. I've been here like how long have you been here now?
15 years.
I've been here. Well, it's not that bad, honestly.
Yeah.
15 years. The spiritual scenery has changed a lot in 15 years. I'm sure you've seen it as well. You know, things are changing. You know, we might not have huge amounts more people in this church right now. In fact, we might have less people in this church than we used to have. But something's changing. The scenery's changing.
Yeah.
And something's happening in the spirit. And because we've just been, progressing, we've been going
That's
forward.
Right.
And the thing I've found as well is, like, when I'm on a journey, is that the destination can arrive very quickly. Because you can get into that place where it's like, oh my goodness, will we ever, ever arrive at our destination? Will we ever get there? Maybe that's how you're feeling in the spirit tonight. Will we ever, ever get there? Well, the destination could be just round that bend. You can't see it because it's just round that bend. But it's there. It's getting really, really close. So whatever you're believing for, whatever your hopes are, whatever your struggles are that you're struggling with and you want to see a positive outcome, maybe the destination is literally just round that bend.
Yeah.
And people give up. Sometimes people give up just, and it's just round the bend. You know, you'd have to be round the bend, wouldn't you, to give up if it was just round the bend? The sudden leaves of God are about to come upon us. I believe that, you know. Because there's something about the spiritual atmosphere now. It's as if, like, can anything really happen? Is something really going to happen in this place? Something really going to take off? And it's like that on a journey. It's like, are we really ever going to arrive? That's what it feels like to me in the spirit now. It's just like some suddenly a God is about to happen.
Yeah.
The suddenlies of God are going to come upon us. They're being stored up ready for us.
Yeah.
Because seed has been sown that will produce a harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Promises have been made that will be kept. Prophecy will be fulfilled.
Amen.
There's a lot of reasons why something is about to happen.
Yeah.
Something good is about to happen. Now sometimes, when you're on a journey, sometimes you get this sense that, you know, enough is enough. It's time. Enough is enough. Have you ever had that kind of enough is enough? Do you know what? I can't take another minute of playing I Spy in this kind of journey. I can't take another. You know, enough is enough. But it's a cry that comes within you. It's a cry that can only come within you. I can't make. You know, if you're struggling with something, I can't make you say enough is enough. I can't, you know, I can't say, Rachel, enough's enough, I'm not putting up with that anymore. You know, I can say that, but it's not going to get me very far, I can tell you. But it's much more effective when that enough is enough kind of thing comes from within.
Mm.
And that's where the work of the Holy Spirit comes, because maybe there's something that you're struggling with, or, you know, you're getting frustrated with, and it's enough is enough, because there is a legitimate time that this happens. Enough is enough. That cry that's within you, in your spirit, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's no coincidence that the Holy Spirit is called the Helper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we need help, where do we go? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in that place where, you know, well, we've tried everything. Come on, let's pray about it. You know, I mean, it's like the Helper is the Helper for that reason. He wants to help us, but he wants to help us to change our mind.
Yeah.
You know, to change our mind and to give us understanding and to, it's not so much to, right, to take us from here to there, to the destiny. Because if he just did it for us, notice like the Helper is there. It's kind of like, it's like a cooperation kind of word, isn't it? To help is like to cooperate, to assist, you know. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. You know, if someone's struggling with something, if I see someone struggling with something and I just go and do it for them, that's good. You know, that's good in a sense. But if I help them say, right, okay, let's do this together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll help you and we can kind of learn how to do this together and so forth. That's how the Holy Spirit operates.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just come and do it for us because we don't learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think, well, that's fine. You know, I could be helping someone and they don't even know I'm helping them. I could do something for them. I could see something that they're struggling with, and maybe that they were struggling financially, and I could just kind of like sneakily put a bit of money their way, you know. But the thing that they're struggling with financially never changes, and you could just keep on helping them financially over and over and over again. But the reason why they're in that trouble never gets solved.
Yeah.
Bit like, you know, if you teach people how to fish rather than just give them the fish, it's that kind of thing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes alongside us and helps us and teaches us. And you see, that's again, that's part of the journey that we're on. You know, sometimes the answers, the solutions aren't always the instant solutions that we're kind of expecting. And that can be frustrating sometimes, but it's just the way God works, because he wants us to learn through it. So he wants us to teach us, so we don't just keep on struggling with the same struggles all the way through our life. He wants to teach us and come alongside us and help us. So there is sometimes a legitimate call, sometimes on a journey, that enough is enough. Enough is enough. I can't take it anymore. I need to do something about this. Lord, will you help me? You know, I need to change something in my life. And that happens. That's got to happen more. That call from within has got to happen more, if we're going to see some real change. But I believe, you know, as I said, inch by inch, progress is being made. And, you know, I'm quite relaxed about it, actually. You know, I used to get so frustrated and agitated about where things were at and stuff like that. But I'm just, there's a contentment that I never used to have as a Christian. Of course, you've got to make sure that it doesn't like go into apathy. But there's got to be a place of contentment where we actually enjoy the journey that we're on.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. That's all I really wanted to share with you tonight. But we're just going to pray. I'm going to invite James to come back up, and we have a couple, maybe one or two more songs just to finish the evening. So praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. Lord, and I thank you, Lord God, that you just want to help us, Lord, wherever we're at, Lord, whatever we're struggling with. I thank you, Lord, that you are the helper, Lord, and you never just come to tick a box, to tick a ministry box to help, Lord. You come to really help, Lord. You work on our very hearts and our very beings, Lord, that we can see lasting change within our lives, Lord God. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, come and help us, Lord, as we're on this journey, Lord, just to enjoy it, Lord God. Lord, to be excited, Lord, that even if we're not seeing success, if we're not seeing change, Lord, then at least we would just enjoy the anticipation of what you have to come for us, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.